Fighting for America.
Can you please open your textbooks to chapter 8 and we'll get started?
Here we are, promoting our schools, securing our future.
Totes and goats.
Totes and goats.
We're trying to teach you to think.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's kind of hard to, like, keep up with everything, like school and cheer.
Anyone? Anyone?
Right here in high school, I know that I'm gaining experience that's going to help me no matter what I want to do.
Fighting for you.
We are very appreciative of KIDO Radio coming to our schools and giving us a chance to promote the good things that we do at this.
Thanks for previewing our school. We're proud of it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Voices Mr. Wright, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Pay attention, Dustin.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, good morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. On Facebook, on Twitter, as we start the day, joining us now, our great friend Governor Otter at 580-KIDO. Governor, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
You know, we take a look at the state of things. Obviously, you're here to talk about your job as governor, what we're doing as far as business and industry and other news of the day. When we take a look at the state of Idaho, how are we doing economically? When last we were with you, we were at Ed's 50s Cafe,
and we were that's right.
And we were talking about, you know, again, bringing folks here to the Treasure Valley. How are we doing economically?
Well, we're really doing great. You know, you compare yourself. What's the scale? You compare yourself to other states. You compare yourself to the national economy. The national economy. We're whether it's unemployment, whether it's individual growth and income, we're outpacing the nation. We still got a lot of work to do, and we're still going to do a lot of work. And as a result of that, the legislature this last session gave us several more tools in our attractive toolbox in attracting companies to come into the state, but also to encourage companies that are here to expand. And that's really our first priority, is we want companies that are already here to grow, to hire more people, to create a greater part of our economy. But as I have said several times and in the state of the state, we did hit our Project 60
right
last year. When I became governor, the economy was $51.5 billion. Even through the recession, even through all the tough times we went through, we grew $8.5 billion. So we're at projects, at the goal of Project 60. This year we're anticipating $62.4 billion in total economy in the state, which would be about a 6.4% growth.
And you're meeting with these folks, and, you know, we never had a chance to talk about your trip to Russia. You know, Russia's in the news and all that.
Yeah.
But what was that like for you growing up in the Treasure Valley? All of a sudden, you're meeting with people that used to be part of the Soviet Union.
Well, you can't erase that out of your mind.
Right.
You know, you're always thinking, whether you're in your hotel room or I wonder how many cameras there are in here. I wonder how many bugs there are in this room. And you, in fact, are instructed by the State Department not to leave your laptop, not to leave any sensitive information or information that is proprietary that you don't want to necessarily share with the government. Because as they go through the rooms, as they, whether they're cleaning them or whatever, they'll probably take the opportunity to take a look-see. But I would tell you this, we had a great crew that went over with us. When the Iron Curtain came down, nobody knew what to do.
Right.
And so as a result, their economy, and especially their foodstuffs, and especially their red meat, program, really went into the tank. They started eating the brood cows. And so now they've got a very aggressive program to grow back their producing herds. And so a couple of the folks that went over with us, Shaw Herfords and the Angus folks out of Lead Ore, Idaho, Carl Tyler and Carl Lufkin, all went over with us. We went out and worked with those folks. But we had a lot of other people, too. Zamzow's.
Right.
Went with us. They were pretty excited about what we could do.
Yeah, the technology guy from Meridian that got a lot of attention as well in that trip, too, yeah.
That's right. Ernesto. He got over there. We only had a couple of meetings set up for him. He got over there, and when those folks started seeing the dynamics of the storage programs, recovery programs that he had, all of a sudden he had about six or eight more meetings set up. In fact, I thought we were going to have to leave him in Moscow when we went on up to northern Russia because of all of those meetings that all of a sudden they wanted.
What was that for you as an American to see Red Square?
Well, I'd been there before.
Right.
I had been there, actually, I'm going to say, Kevin, it was in the early 80s when we opened the McDonald's restaurant right there on Red Square. And Here's the Golden Arches, one of the greatest symbols of capitalism, actually casting a shadow on the Kremlin wall. And I was amazed when I saw that McDonald's, because I hadn't been back since then. But I was amazed when I saw the size of that McDonald's at that location. And then the McDonald's that are really growing all over Russia.
Governor, a few other things going on here at 580KIDO. Your thoughts on the controversy and your signing of the campus carry. I know you've been working on that for quite some time. The Second Amendment, very important to you. I can remember the last time, a couple times ago, you said we have the most Second Amendment-friendly legislature. Certainly they proved that. Were you surprised at the opposition to that?
No. No, you know, I wasn't, and I understand their angst, but I also understand our obligation under the Constitution, and I understand our obligation under the Second Amendment. And actually, we in Idaho are blessed because I don't know about you, but I can't remember when there wasn't a gun in the house when I was growing up. In fact, I tell this story to a lot of folks. I'm not suggesting we start doing this today, but when I took gun safety, it was at McKinley Grade School up just off of Overland, and we were instructed to bring our guns to school. And the resource officer from the Fish and Game would come down and give us instructions on those guns. When I was in 4-H, the Fish and Game would always offer a resource officer to come and teach us gun safety and instruct us on the proper use of weapons.
Governor Otter with us as we continue on. Earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with Nagmeh Abedini. And she, I posted on Facebook, you have questions for the governor. And she said this, and I know you've been listening all morning long because you said told me Dave Burnett was wrong about you living at Star. And I told Burnett that, but he, manly man segment. But anyway, this is what she said, and instead of me saying, I thought I would share it with you now.
I would like Governor Otter to know that I would appreciate any efforts he can do to speak out on Saeed to bring more awareness. I know that he deals with internal issues, and this has to do with the State Department, but anything he can say will bring attention to the president and anything he can do to. I know he released a statement early on last year or so, but the more he can do, the better, and I would appreciate that.
Your thoughts, sir?
Well, even though most of my concern is always internal issues, it is always going to be an issue to the governor of the state of Idaho, whether it's Butch Otter or anybody else, if an Idahoan has been kidnapped and being held against their will by some tyrannical force anywhere in the world. We've been involved in several. Well, you know how we've been involved with Bo Bergdahl. Because I'm a veteran. You know, I understand a lot of the code, the military code, on when you are kidnapped or when you are taken hostage and what that code says you can and cannot do and should and should not do. So there's a lot of things the hostages themselves can't do, especially if they're military. But and it's in this case, as a minister, I suspect that there's a certain spiritual guidance that they have as well. But that's why it's so important that those of us that are not being held hostage, those of us that are free to say so, should push the envelope just as far as we can to seek peaceful and release and quick release of anybody that's being held hostage.
And, you know, you and I go to the same church, or I go to your church, we'll say that, Holy Apostles there on Chinden and Meridian, would you urge people to pray for Saeed?
Oh, absolutely. And I would tell you that if you know Father Lynn,
yes,
you do know Father Lynn, and all the folks obviously do their own thing in their own way. And prayer is one of the strongest forces that we've got. You know, we can have the strongest military, the best weaponry, the smartest this, the best drones. We can have all that stuff. But if you aren't spiritually correct, and if you don't seek that extra help, guidance, comfort, and if that is not being provided by those who care about you, well, then it's just going to be less of a process.
580 KIDO, Governor Otter with us. We go to the phones, and we're joined by Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I've just got one question. I was at the GOP last night on their forum, and Senator Fulcher wanted to know when you were going to debate him. That's something I think a lot of people in Idaho would like to hear or see the two of you side by side so they can make a comparison between yourself and Senator Fulcher. Can you tell us when that might be?
Well, yeah, Tea Party Bob. In fact, if I recall right, we've now had some 27 or 28 joint appearances around the state. They're called the Lincoln Day Banquets. And, of course, this is a primary race, and those are the folks that we hope to encourage to go out and carry our banner and vote in our box in the primary. We do have a couple of other debates. I'm not sure when and where, but understand this, Bob. When we got the Lincoln Day schedule, it was early enough that I could put those voids into my schedule or put those dates into my schedule so that I could make it. It just happens that I've also got to complete my obligations as governor. And yesterday I spent most of the day in Idaho Falls, and I had several commitments when I got home. And so it was a date that I just couldn't make. There's been several other dates that have been suggested that I couldn't make. However, as I said, I know of at least one, and that's the public television
mm-hmm.
Debate that I'm going to be on. But quite frankly, we're going to be in Payette tonight at a Republican Lincoln Day banquet. We're going to be in Bonner's Ferry this Friday night, Sandpoint on Saturday night. So there's plenty of effort, Bob, for anybody, if they want to ask Fulcher and I questions, to come to those occasions, and we'll be free to answer your question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Tea Party Bob, 580 KIDO. And sitting on the campaign for a minute, what do you make of this run and your thoughts? I mean, people are wondering, third term, you're ready to go. Your reasons for reelection, sir.
Well, we have accomplished a lot of as we went through the downturn, the uncertainty that's been caused by the Obama administration in many areas, and capitalization and investment is one of those areas that is always very, very careful. And whether it's Obamacare or whether it's his tax policy, whether it's his national policy relative to the redistribution of scarcity in this country, we've been able to come through a lot of those things. And during those downturns, we had to make some tough choices. We made those tough choices, and now we've got plans going forward. And I would tell you, the task force on education came up with 20 great points. We've got plan year one behind us now. The legislature accepted. We worked on year one's plan, and we've got that in place. We got four more years to go. So we got a 5-year plan to improve education.
And you want to be around for
350.
That.
I want to see it through. So we got some things started. The Line Commission on the future of INL. I just submitted a plan to the federal government on our control, our management control of 12 million acres of national forest in Idaho, of which about 1,800,000 is a very critical stage for either insect kill, disease, and or fire. Disastrous fire. So aside from those, there's a lot of other things. We're setting new goals on projects relative to the economy. I said Project 60. The next one, as we look at it, we want it achievable, and we want it to be predictable. And so maybe the next project is Project 80 or Project 85.
More coming up with Governor Otter next. We will talk about the West fight for their lands, the BLM controversy in Nevada, what that means to Idaho, and, of course, the Apache program, the A-10 program, and more with Governor Otter coming up next. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with Governor Otter as we continue on. Governor, I know you're always familiar with what's going on in the West. Your thoughts on the BLM versus the Bundys. We had Speaker Betke in Salt Lake with a meeting of 50 lawmakers from 9 Western states wanting the lands back. I know that's a big concern for you.
Right, and it should be a big concern for everybody. But I thought the actions taken by the BLM were over the top. There are a lot of legal ways to accomplish the very same thing. And, in fact, I can't remember who I heard it from, but, you know, they could file a lien against his property for monies due. Obviously, if he owes the money, and he contends that, then there's the court system to go through. That's what makes this republic. A republic is the rule of law. And but I certainly understand their resistance to that. We went through this, by the way. I'm going to say it was the late 70s. It was called the Sagebrush Rebellion. And at that time, Steve Sims and myself, a lot of folks in the West, kind of cut our teeth on the whole public lands question as a result of the Sagebrush Rebellion. And that was when Jimmy Carter said, we're not going to sell any more public lands. Those lands that we still own, we're going to keep. It was never intended for the federal government to keep those lands. But of course, now that we've kept them, there is a broad feeling of ownership, access, and those kinds of attitudes toward it. So, you know, I would hope that the BLM would learn from those actions that they took and seek the peaceful and legal means of executing their, if they have responsibilities, those responsibilities.
We go to the phones. We go to Eric in CUNA at 580 KIDO with Governor Otter.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Morning, Governor.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, I just wanted to say that was really great that you said that, that, you know, all the guns in the world don't mean anything if a person or a nation of people isn't spiritually sound. That's great. And I want to give you, like, total props for signing that bill protecting us from some of those executive orders just recently. I think it was, like, March 21st. I can't remember the name of the bill, but, you know, excellent. You know, you most likely have my vote. I have a question.
Well, most likely, Eric, what do I got to do to get it?
No, you got my vote.
Okay.
You're from Idaho. You've really, everything you've just said in the last 10 minutes is great. You know,
thank you.
You're a good guy. You know, totally. I have my question is, I know we have the health exchanges in Idaho, and how did they? Okay, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
We're a Republican state. Why couldn't we have just kept those privatized? And can we remove that if we want to? And did Idaho accept some big amount of money to institute those exchanges?
Well, Eric, two things. Number one, we only had two options. The first option was to let the federal government come into the state of Idaho and set up an insurance exchange and run it from Washington, D.C. The other option was the state of Idaho could set up its own insurance exchange and have Idahoans running it, and that's the option that I've strived for. Eric, when have we ever invited a agency full of bureaucrats to come into Idaho and run anything? Sure. We're trying to get them out of the state. In fact, the very people that are complaining because I established an insurance exchange. But let me wrap this up by saying I'm seeing some things in our insurance exchange right now that I predict to you, Eric, that in 4 to 5 years, we will not have a state-run insurance exchange. The private sector is stepping up with products and programs that convinces me that within 4 or 5 years, we're going to be able to privatize the whole thing.
Huh. Hey, well, guess what? You answered my question. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And you got my vote.
Thanks, Eric.
So I don't know much about the other contender. And if you guys have a debate, I'll definitely watch it. But you're a good guy. And thanks for everything you do. You're doing a good job. You know, you're not just warming that seat. You probably don't sit in that seat very much.
Every time Kevin invites me, if you were sitting in this seat, I'd be sitting in it more if he had moved this studio to Star, where
That's
we
right.
both live.
Yes, yes.
We live within a 9-iron shot of each other. A 9-iron golf club shot of each
yes.
other out in Star. We could talk across the ditch.
All right, Eric. Thank you for the call. Governor, quickly, a final thought here on the Apaches, the A-10s. I know you're going to be meeting with the Air Force
right.
Chief of Staff.
Right.
Your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, besides Butch Otter, besides the Adjutant General of the State of Idaho, Gary Saylor, the entire delegation and I are taking every opportunity that we can to meet with the folks that are making this decision. Some of these decisions are out ahead of us. One of them is the Apache, as Gary Saylor has told me about it. And here's why. We have done such a great job of maintaining the viability and the operations of our Apaches here in Idaho and 7 other National Guards across the United States that the regular Army is saying, yours are in a lot better shape than ours are. We're going to take your Apaches, and we're going to put them into the regular Army. So they're moving from the National Guard to the regular Army, which says something about the effectiveness, the cost effectiveness, the operational effectiveness of our Idaho National Guard right here in Idaho. The A-10 is a platform that they say no longer is needed. Well, I disagree with them, but on the other hand, I'm reluctant to go after a single platform. What I'm going after is missions. If you take a look at the assets at Gowan Field and the assets, and I'm talking about brick and mortar, I'm talking about buildings, the tarmac that we have available, the training range we have available, the professional personnel that we have available. The Pentagon, if they're looking to get the best bounce for their buck and economy in our national defense, then come to Idaho because they're getting the best bounce for their buck right here in Idaho. When we send an A-10, we send, used to be an F-4, when we send an airplane up into the air, an F-15, a Strike Eagle out of Mountain Home. When they reach altitude, Kevin, they're over the training range. They don't have to spend right. a lot of gas. They don't have to call Fairchild and say, hey, send us a KC-131 in order to give us a refueling, because we can go out, do our targeting, and come back with the same tank of fuel. So every reason in the world, and what the Pentagon and the Obama administration is using for this right now, is that we need to take some money out of our national defense. Okay, if that's the case, I would probably disagree to the extent that they've done it. But I would also say then utilize those assets where you get the best bounce for your buck. And that just happens to be Gowan Field in Mountain Home, Idaho.
Governor, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men.
Oh, my goodness. 580 KIDO, good morning. Broadcasting live from Capitol High School. Kevin Miller in the morning. Sweet World Alert is with us for the Manly Man segment, and you're, along with Dave Burnett, you're giving me these tips on what to and what not to watch in Netflix.
Exactly. I mean, I watch it all the time. So, I mean, they just added all the seasons of House. So that's what my life has been doing right now.
I could see where, Dave Burnett, I could see where Netflix is very addicting, and I'm slow to the Netflix party, where all you could do is just sit there and watch and watch and watch and do nothing else.
Yeah, I have a hunch it's very popular in Colorado and Washington. No, I'm just saying that, you know, if you just want to sit on the couch and watch TV 24 hours a day, there's a lot to watch.
It's called binge watching, and if you're really in, if you're really into a show, like you're like, for instance, Kevin just got into House of Cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that show is so intense. You're just like, I need to know what's going on in the next episode. I mean, you just can't stop watching. It's an addiction.
Again, it's a different way of watching TV than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's funny. It's very unique to the millennial generation who, you know, they don't watch TV on TV. They watch it on tablets or smartphones or any of these things, and it's totally rewiring how people are viewing. But, you know, that's the problem when you binge watch something. Okay, you're great for a week. Then what?
Well, then you find something else to watch.
Where's the drama?
Well, because the good thing.
Well. Evidently having some issues at a Capital High School. You guys there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh,
can you
okay.
hear us?
Yeah, we just had a little, just a little short drop out there.
Oh, well, the thing is, like with certain TV shows,
that
like,
never happens.
I know, right?
No.
If you're done with it, they'll recommend other shows with like the same actors or
who
the same
recommends
names.
It? Will is it
Netflix?
Some, wait a minute. Who is it? Mr. Net or Mr. Flix?
No, it's a Chinese. I think it's a Chinese, Kevin.
Or is it a robot?
It's an algorithm.
Yeah, and mark my words right here on Idaho's first, oldest, most consistent radio station, Skynet is coming. The robots
yes.
are taking over.
You could
Terminator
watch,
1 and 2 are on Netflix.
You could watch all
right
of those,
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about the robots one day. We're getting too smart. It's going to be the Matrix. It's going to be the robots. The robots are going to take over. And somewhere, the robots will erase this electronic recording of me warning America right now, friends, and I'm going to go to my Alex Jones voice. Folks, I'm very serious about this. More serious than going to Infowars.com for your latest, who knows what, boondoggle of treasure troves of preparation. Folks, the robots are taking over. Artificial intelligence has to be stopped. You heard it here first.
Wow.
Just saying.
It's all because Will's watching Netflix.
Or did you just go see the movie Transcendence this past weekend?
That bombed. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I actually went and saw it.
And?
I mean, it's a great concept, but terrible follow-through. It could have been a really cool movie, but it wasn't.
I hate that. I hate when there's so much promise in a movie and it falls flat.
Yeah, kind of like my career. But let me just say this. That Transcendence, all that was a poor man's imitation of Tron. I'm telling you, Tron.
No, it wasn't.
Tron.
No, and Transcendence is all about, you know, what artificial intelligence, if it becomes, you know, self-aware, what it could happen.
We don't need to make, we need to get some Zamzos weed and feed, make sure it doesn't become self-aware.
That works on computers? I didn't know that.
Dave Burnett told me it did. Dave?
I'm dropping out. I'm just dropping out. I didn't say that, Kevin. You're making stuff up again.
Well, that's the magic of this segment here at 580KIDO, the make stuff up segment.
Yeah, Kevin makes stuff up, and the rest of us sit and scratch our head.
I know.
That's
anyway.
What we call this half hour.
So anyway, here at 580KIDO, I'm trying to think of any big stories, because, again, I'm watching this House of Cards. And
well, I got some big stories for you. What do you make of the fact that the Taliban...
House of Cards.
No, I don't want to talk about that. What do you make of the fact that Taliban has come out and said, yeah, we're willing to deal, but we don't even know who to talk to? Is our government in that much disarray, or is the Taliban just stirring stuff?
Well, tragically, and this is true overnight, three doctors were killed in a hospital by their guard. Three American doctors were killed by the very person that was entrusted with their life. And let me just run this disclaimer. There's nothing wrong with being partisan. I think we don't have enough partisanship, and I'm not going to apologize for my opinion. But, folks, the press is doing a horrific job of not reporting what is happening in Afghanistan when we can't trust, when we have green-on-blue attacks, and this is not a big story. We've got problems, and we've got problems with the Afghanis who we continue to give billions and billions of dollars. But you, Willard, or you, Dave Burnett, or you, Kevin Miller, sorry, there is no money for the Apaches at Mountain Home, and we're going to take the 810s out of commission because we can't afford it. But we can give people in Afghanistan money.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. I can't imagine being a military person right now and look and see what's going on. They stand quiet. They do their job, but that's got to be tough.
Well, you know what's really tough? It's 5:45 here at 580 KIDO. And, Dave Burnett, you believe you start your day fairly early, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're here at Capitol High School, and there's a group of young ladies actually running laps right now, doing some type of physical training in the gym, which we're directly across from. So here, you know, it's very similar to being in the military, when, in fact, you know, you get up, you do your physical training. But I from what I see, it's primarily young ladies running laps and not doing them Sweet Willard style, lackadaisically, but actually sprinting and being in full bore, full awake, full attentiveness at 5:46 in the morning. Who can say that on this broadcast?
Well, I would say maybe you, during the break, should get up and run with them.
That, well, Will, do we have the defibrillator?
No.
Yes. Just no, I'm sorry.
Just take two bare wires, Will. Plug them into an outlet and let them have it.
I'm sorry the defibrillator is being used for another broadcast, like everything else. But anyway, here at 580 KIDO. So here we have these young people working out already. Can you believe that? Now, when you were in high school, did you go to the gym this early and work out?
Me?
Dave Burnett?
No. No. I think 7 is as early as we went. I think we went at 7 and could lift and do different stuff at 7, not at 5:47 in the morning.
Will?
The earliest I ever got to school to work out was 6:30. Those were like football mm-hmm. workouts when we did calisthenics and stuff like that.
It looks pretty intense here.
Probably is.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Getting back to Dave Burnett's point, so the Taliban says they don't know who to negotiate with.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, the FBI, the CIA, the military, State Department all says, oh, we're working on it, but the Taliban saying that they're ready to make a deal to send Bo home. They're done. But they don't know who to deal with. How could that be?
What about John Kerry?
Well, yeah, he would be the State Department, one would think. But mm-hmm. It just makes me scratch my head. How could that be that they don't know who to deal with? I've got an idea. Here's an idea for you, Taliban. Take them over to somewhere safe and take them to Kuwait and drop them off. Just put them on a street corner in Kuwait and drop them off somewhere friendly. How hard's that? Except, obviously, they want something.
Well, they want something, and basically they're trying to make us look bad, and apparently it seems to be working.
Yeah. So, you know, we may... And again, I feel my heart bleeds for the Bergdahl family, whose hopes again are raised up as it appears that something is happening. But is it going to be another case where nothing happens?
Well, and we keep getting our...
So that news is in with Bo Bergdahl and what's happening there. Associated Press has a story out here this morning, Kevin.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they say?
The Associate? Well, I'll read you the story. Captors of American soldier held for 5 years in Afghanistan have signaled a willingness that they're ready to release him, but unclear which U.S. government officials have the authority to make the deal. It's according to U.S. defense official and military officer working for the release of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. Critics of the release effort blame disorganization and poor communication, along with numerous U.S. agencies involved. A defense official said about 24 officials at the State and Defense Department, the military, CIA, and FBI are working on the case. White House, if you remember them, and Defense Department are defending their work to release Bo Bergdahl. They're defending it. Military officer and defense official spoke on the condition of remaining anonymous. They were not authorized to discuss the case publicly. That was released this morning at 5 o'clock.
Hmm. Well, oh, yeah, you're right about that. Like I just said a moment ago, what about Governor Otter and Pastor Saeed?
Yeah, interesting conversation yesterday that you had as the governor asking, you know, for those responsible to release him.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's gotten a lot of movement on social media, but really, I really enjoyed that program yesterday where you have Nagme, his wife, and really learning more about her and what it's like for her to travel, to meet these people. And it's not about a show. It's about continuing to raise awareness. And Governor Otter, not only talking about the need to release Pastor Saeed, but going into his own experience as a veteran. And then, unlike most leaders that you wouldn't hear in Vermont or California, talking about faith and talking about the power of prayer.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch as you have both two Idaho cases, two Idaho residents. One is an issue of faith, the other military. and to see whether the media gives the issue of faith the time of day or not. Because after all, you're talking about Christian faith.
Well, we shall see, but I thought it was very nice of the governor to say that.
I do, too. I think it was, you know, good for him to make a stand and a statement. We'll see how much goes there. One other note in the news before I jump off to traffic here, Kevin, who's at Capital High School. That is Flight 360. Remember that? The flight that disappeared? Well, a big piece of sheet metal came up on the shores of Australia yesterday. Turns out, no, not part of the plane. They're 90% done scouring with their robot sub below the surface where supposedly the plane went down. Nothing. 90% done. Nothing. Where did that plane go? Why isn't parts of it washing up on the shore?
Well, and that's just one of these mysteries.
I guess so. But Kevin at Capital High School will continue on. Your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The three doctors were working at an international hospital in the capital, Kabul, when an Afghan security guard working there turned his gun on them. Two others were injured. A spokesman for the Interior Ministry says he's now in custody.
Police has arrested the attacker as well, so we will investigate to find out the motives behind this attack.
Attacks on foreigners working in the country are becoming more common. Just a few weeks ago, two journalists were shot by a police commander while covering the elections. Emily Wither, Fox News Radio.
There you have it from Emily Wither. We'll have much more on that coming up next. Let's get you to traffic. And 5:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, broadcasting live from Capital High School, promoting our school, securing our future. Coming up next, we'll find out what's going on here, why these kids are all working out so early in the morning, and of course, sound bodies, a sound mind. Much more coming up. Stay tuned. Stay informed. 580 KIDO.
Serving M.